if an engineer is building a bridge, they're always going to put a safety factor into it of a certain ratio. Say it's 1.5 or 2. Who knows what the number is considering the circumstance, or 1.1. But they're going to say, hey, we're going to design it for this type of load, this kind of circumstance. But then we're going to create a pretty big buffer in this, so we're not wrong. And so that's what insurance engineers do, and actual scientists, when they go to design how much premium they need to collect, how much reserve they're going to need, and for how much to create the cash value, to create death benefit. Those are all the components that go into it. And because of that safety factor is also why, because of that, they every year they pay a dividend. You know, Civil War, depressions, recessions, tech booms and busts, that it always pays out every year.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy Brennan, on with me.
What's up, Ken?
So, thanks again. I feel like I have to say thanks again every time you come on. So I can't tell you the response I get saying how awesome my co-host is. So yeah, you're awesome. So
that's because you pay me the big bucks.
I pay you the big bucks. And I said, so, but it's always so much fun having you on. So I just want to, I probably bore you when it does thanking you every time when we start. But anyway, I just want to say thank you.
It doesn't bore me.
Good. I'm just very grateful. So if I ever say anything on this podcast that offends you, please let me know and I'll take it back.
I highly doubt that that would ever happen, but I appreciate the license.
So I have a whole bunch of podcast ideas. I have a few questions and a few things to bring up real quick. And today I think I'm going to talk about something super exciting.
Excellent.
And it'll be actuarial science. You heard that term before?
No.
Yeah. So the best way to describe it is, it's kind of like insurance engineers.
Okay.
And so we'll try to see how exciting I can make that. But I want to talk about actual science and how important it is on the financial side for people, and kind of talk about a conversation. I got a call about a month ago from a sales guy for a very, very big investment advisor. The guy's so big, his name's trademarked.
Wow.
And I'm like, geez, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Get your own name trademarked. Right. But anyway, I'll talk about that conversation on today's podcast. But I want to talk about actual science, and really, when you really understand it, it's really fascinating and how it can play in the financial space. But I want to answer a couple of questions. As random as this is, it was probably a podcast where I was talking about system and goals, and it's come up a few times now, which is like, how did my wife know that I was measuring my waist in the bathroom? I just want to answer this so I don't look like an idiot. She knew because it makes this, it's one of those zip ones, goes zip when you let it go. Yep. And so, and it went a long time because my waist has gotten huge. And so when it, like, she heard it zip, she's like, oh, he's measuring himself.
Sure. That's hilarious.
And I'm talking about systems and goals. And with that knowledge, like, okay, I'm going to start eating better again. Then I probably went out and got McDonald's, right? And french fries. So anyway, losing weight in my mind. But that was the one piece I think came up several times. How did my wife know I was measuring my waist?
Out of all the questions people could ask on a podcast.
Yeah, those are the fun ones, right? That's an important question.
Absolutely.
But I can say some to everyone who's reached out to me via email and on LinkedIn and stuff, complimenting the podcast. Thank you so much. I really enjoy doing this podcast. I enjoy having you on as a co-host, Tammy, and I really appreciate the feedback. Great work. Keep doing it. Thank you so much. I love what you're doing.
It's really cool.
And I'm so glad I found you. And so that kind of feedback, that feeds my funnel all day long.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love doing it. And then when a certain percentage says, hey, you know, I'm actually going to call Ken too and, you know, see if it makes sense to become a client. I like that a lot too.
Of course.
but thank you for all the feedback, everyone. And thanks for listening. Are you ready to talk about the power of actuarial science?
Totally. And I'm glad you said it again, because I don't think I could say it.
Actuarial science. So essentially, you know, everyone who's been listening to my podcast knows, you know, got my degrees in electrical engineering, minor mechanical, got the civil, and then I'm a professional engineer in the civil engineering discipline. And so I just love taking engineering mindset to the financial industry. and I like math and numbers, you know, math doesn't lie. And so what's so powerful about actuarial science, and this will go back to, we'll talk about the bankosaurs, we'll talk about annuities, we'll talk about Wall Street and how, you know, they can all work in synergy. And the reason why, so actuarial science essentially is just engineers that when they can take, let me step it back a little bit, whole life insurance, you know, mutual whole life insurance companies, dividend paying whole life insurance, is so powerful and hasn't failed any policy owner I know for over 200 years because of actuarial science.
Hmm.
What they do is they'll take this huge risk pool. So like, for example, like, you know, here in Reno, Nevada, you know, if you just take this risk pool of 10 people, that's not a very good population to start doing a probability and statistics on. You know, that you could have like flipping a coin. You flip a coin 10 times, how many times do you think it's going to be heads?
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
50%.
Okay.
I don't know.
There's only two things it could be, right? A heads, right, or tails. And so when you flip a coin 10 times, yeah, you would think, okay, there's a 50% chance it's going to be heads, right? And right, then you flip it again, what's your probability it's going to be heads again?
50% less?
50%. Oh, 50% less. That's an interesting answer. But yeah, 50% probability, right? And then, yeah, so then you flip it again. What's your probability of it being 50%?
50%.
Of being heads. That's right, 50%. So you can keep, yeah, flipping that coin over and over and over again. Well, so if you do it 10 times in that sample,
mm-hmm,
now watch, I've got this actuarial science probably rolling his eyes like I'm totally communicating this wrong, but I think I'm getting the message across. You'll flip that thing 10 times and you would think, yeah, 50-50 chance, but it could be all tails, couldn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Every single time. But now I say the risk pool, you do it, you flip it a million times.
Mm.
Now what's the likelihood is going to get more to a 50-50 ratio? It won't be exact.
Right.
But so when it comes to actuarial science, when you take this huge risk pool where you just take 10 people and you go, okay, I'm going to go get car insurance, and you're a car insurance company, boy, good luck trying to predict what kind of accidents. Well, forget auto insurance. These guys can't figure it out. That's why they keep raising rates every year. Hmm. Yeah, so love those phone calls,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
You know, why my rate go up? I'm all, because they're insurance companies, because they can, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's like, hey, my rate, I've never seen my insurance rate go down since, and fingers crossed, never had a claim in my life, yet I still pay that outrageous fee every year. So they can't figure that out. But when it comes to, exactly, but when it comes to life insurance, the actuarial scientists, the insurance engineers, they take this huge risk pool, millions of people, and they take all this type of, you know, they look at age, they look at health, they look at build, there's all these medical history, genealogy, they look at a lot, and they know pretty much to a T how many people are going to die that year based upon age.
It's amazing.
That's actuarial science.
Okay.
But when you keep that kind of empirical data, you take all the probability and statistics. So when you have a large enough risk pool, to a T, they know how many people are going to die that year. Hmm. I mean, not dead on, but pretty close.
Right.
And then because these actuarial scientists, like I'll just keep saying insurance engineers, these insurance engineers, just like engineers, they like what's called safety factor. So if an engineer is building a bridge, they're always going to put a safety factor into it of a certain ratio. Say it's 1.5 or 2. Who knows what the number is considering the circumstance, or 1.1. But they're going to say, hey, we're going to design it for this type of load, this kind of circumstance. But then we're going to create a pretty big buffer in this so we're not wrong.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yep.
And so that's what insurance engineers do, and actuarial scientists, when they go to design how much premium they need to collect, how much reserve they're going to need, and for how much to create the cash value, to create death benefit, those are all the components that go into it. And because of that safety factor is also why, because of that, they every year they pay a dividend. You know, Civil War, depressions, recessions, tech booms and busts, that it always pays out every year. Pretty nice track record, isn't it?
That's amazing.
So that's why actuarial science is so powerful, is that when you take a combination of understanding human life value, and very, very conservative investment vehicles that these insurance companies, these mutual insurance companies, very important to me to emphasize mutual, because not that the ones that are on the stock market aren't good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, for me, I prefer mutual because they're not trying to impress shareholders for every quarter.
Right, right.
that can have an impact on investments on Wall Street.
Sure.
And so what I like about the mutual insurance companies is that they're thinking 100 years out. They're thinking 75 years out. They just want to make sure that they've got conservative investments that are going to cash flow and be there when it's needed. All right. And so it's just a very, very solid model. And that's what makes the whole life insurance as boring. That name is so boring. That's why it's the Bankosaurus. You know, I like calling it the Bankosaurus, but that's the power of actual science and what makes these as a very powerful savings vehicle. Make sense? Are you still with me? Or did I just absolutely put you to sleep?
No. It made sense. I actually like your term for it better than actuarial, whatever.
Actuarial science, insurance engineer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I like that a lot better.
Good. And so it was just, I thought I started talking about that piece because people are like, well, why is this thing so good? You know, it just looks too good to be true. And it's like, well, when you see the design behind it, you see the engineering behind it. And you see what these great minds are putting together, all with very safe, conservative principles. And by the way, not having to pay taxes, would you rather pay more taxes or less taxes, Terry?
With your Bankosaurus?
Or just period. I mean, I don't care what the vehicle is. Would you rather pay more taxes or less taxes?
I see. Sorry. I would like to pay less. Thank you.
And if you could pay zero, that would be ideal, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And so when you look at the type of investment strategies out there with like a Roth IRAs, a lot of people are very fascinated by Roth IRAs because this is a qualified plan. It's like, hey, I'll pay my taxes now, but then all the growth, I don't have this huge tax liability, this huge tax mortgage waiting for me later.
Right.
So of all the qualified plans, that can be a real go-to. Whereas you look at a traditional IRA or you look at 401ks, I mean, those statements, when people get them, you know, people in these qualified plans get them, they'll see a dollar amount. Show $1 million, show $2 million, show $500,000, $250,000. They're not showing the tax consequence on that money yet.
Right, right.
That's waiting. And so when we've talked about opportunity costs in the past, but if you had the ability to take a boring instrument like whole life insurance, or let's just say Bankosaurus for the rest of this podcast. Well, you could hate this exciting. That's all in the name. This Bankosaurus, that's a well-designed whole life policy that based upon actual science, as long as we have a country, I can't think of a safer strategy for savings.
Right.
And also if you really want to max it out and think about it, it could be a very powerful place in lieu of a 401k as well.
Sure.
Right? Because a lot of people, when they look at Wall Street, we don't have any, we don't know what tomorrow, we don't know what the probability is tomorrow of the market. Well, actually we do. Is we got 1/3 chance it's going to go up, 1/3 chance it's going to go down, and 1/3 chance it's just going to stay flat. So we do.
Right.
But there's a lot of uncertainty there. And so when you look at what the insurance engineers do, and they can build a lot of certainty because they have all this data and they know how to move money in a way, put it in reserve, invest it in very conservative vehicles, and based upon knowing how many people are going to live and die, that death benefit's there. It's so powerful. I've never talked about annuities. I think you have to be careful on how you use them. But most people, how many people do you know in your community and friends that with their job have a pension now?
Very few, because most of my friends are entrepreneurs.
Most of your friends, you know, like attracts like, right? So, okay, fair point. I could say a lot of people in their jobs, it's not like in the past. Now, I know, you know, a lot of engineers that work for the state, you know, work for the government. There is quite often with the state government, there's a pension. And so that provides a huge amount of, I don't know how to say it, certainty when they go to sleep at night, knowing that as they put in those years, and I know I don't like using the word retirement, but a big fear for most people when they go into the word retirement and they're leaving their career of 20, 30 years, typically 30 years now, they're terrified about living their money. Like, what are they going to do? And so that's where these state pensions can be very powerful for people because they don't have to do all this financial planning, essentially. It's nice that they do in addition to it, but they've got this nice defined income stream until they die.
Right.
And so that's the power of actual science is the fact that, you said to say insurance engineer.
Yeah,
now
I like it better.
With an insurance engineer is that they know. Now, here's the rub with annuities, though. A is that, say you've built up, well, that's the pension. Now, let's tie it to an annuity piece. How would you like to individually as an entrepreneur, Tammy, be able to create your own pension plan?
I would like that.
So that when you hit, you would like it.
Yeah.
Good. So like you hit 65, which is, it's impossible for me to imagine us down the road being 65, 70, right? So I always struggle with, I always struggle with that. People always tease me and say I'm a Peter Pan complex, whatever. But I can't tell, I can blend my emotions and logic together for this podcast and for life is that I know realistic, I know that you and I, once we hit 65, if we, you know, we make it that long, you know, we live another 10 years, we live another 20 years, we're going to be 20 years older, aren't we?
Yes, yes.
And so whether we can imagine being 20 years older or not, we know if we're alive 20 years from now, we're 20 years older. So if you had a choice, would you rather have more money or less 20 years from now?
More.
Good. And if things could be designed in a way that for the rest of your life, now, if you choose to work all your life, awesome, and produce and create, I'm all on board on that. It's all about financial freedom.
Yep.
But we could put things in place today, and obviously, and you hear this all the time, sounds trite, the sooner you play the game, the better.
Yeah.
Because it creates a lot more options.
Absolutely.
But how powerful would it be to structure things in place today or before today, right? Where that down the road, you have vehicles in place that it will pay you for the rest of your life. And so if you live 120 years old, great. If you only make it to 70, I mean, you didn't. But the point is you didn't outlive your money.
Right. And you have choice and freedom and flexibility.
That's right. And so what gets really fun with the what the insurance engineers do is that, and this is where annuities can come into play, is you can use annuities in the, in a lot of different ways that, hey, you know what? I want to kind of, you got to be careful. It's the only investment vehicle I know out there that's allowed to use the word guaranteed, you know, life insurance annuity. So good job, life insurance companies, getting that language locked in, you know, but with the way they do it, good for them. I mean, because I can't think of a more bulletproof strategy. Although, you know, put the disclaimer out there, nothing's bulletproof. But with these annuities, based upon actual science, they can say, hey, you know what? We're going to pay this X amount of money for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very promising to people. That creates an incredible amount of peace of mind. Because now, but here's the negative. So say you got $1 million and this thing's going to cash flow. And I'm just throwing out numbers. But say for $1 million, it's going to pay 80 grand a year for the rest of your life. That's a lot of peace of mind, isn't it?
It is.
Whereas if you compare it to what's kind of considered it has right now, there's some great research out there. Maybe we'll have to do a part two on this. But this will tie to the big, big investment advisor called me about 4 weeks ago because they had some article about why they clickbaited me, Tammy.
Hmm.
I was really fascinated to see why they didn't like annuities the way they were.
Okay.
They're like this evil thing. And so I wanted to see what they had to say. Well, sure enough, it told you nothing. And so it was just enough for them to call and bug me.
Yes, lovely.
And so I said, okay, you made the mistake of calling me. Now I'm going to tie you up on the phone for 30 minutes and ask you a bunch of questions. And I said, so you tell me how your huge investment. So it was really great. And I'm sure they're phenomenal what they do. I'm not taking away from them. But they're like, yeah, we predicted 4 out of the 5 last recessions and depressions. Well, good. That's an 80% success ratio. What happened with number 5? Everything crashed in 08-09. How do your investors feel now?
Yeah.
You know, how do they feel about that in 08-09 when they lost 60% of their wealth?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying under their management that happened, but he didn't find that comment funny, but I thought it was funny. And then I said, hey, I'm looking at, so you tell me, I'm working prospective client, and just throwing stuff out, where he's guaranteed cash flow about 6%. If he just uses, and this is just an example, please don't focus on the number, it's the principle. But at his age, he can take 6% withdrawal rate for the rest of his life. And let's just say it's $1 million. That's 60 grand a year.
Nice.
That's peace of mind,
absolutely,
isn't it? And so what if he gives his million to you guys who predicted the 4 out of the last 5 recessions, right? What's the best you guys can do? What kind of, well, we can't. I said, what can you guarantee? He said, well, we can't guarantee anything. Okay. And I said, well, this annuity is going to pay 60 grand a year.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not fair. That's cheating.
What?
Well, what do you mean cheating? That's not fair. Well, it's because he might not live for, certain people die. They use that money to pay the other person. I'm all, yeah, that's the beauty of actuarial science.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's not fair? It's empowering.
Yes.
And it's not to say that Wall Street doesn't have a place. It does. But when you can create that kind of defined income stream, right, for someone where it's like, hey, I got something I can live on this piece, don't negate how powerful that is. And And so, yeah, granted, everyone, I mean, it's considering that stuff. And there's a lot more details to it. I'm just kind of trying to give a cursory overview on it. But that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. Now here's a negative. Like that $1 million you go through into something like an annuity like that. Well, guess what? That million, they have control of it. You're not getting it back.
Right.
And for the most part, right? So, but what peace of mind that 60 grand's coming out?
Yep.
Oh, how much more powerful is the fact that consult with your tax attorney, Tammy, and everyone listening. But what if 60% of that income was off the table for income taxes?
Nice.
Does that make it even sweeter?
Of course.
So the fancy investment advisor firm, where the guy is huge enough to get a trademark after his name, is saying that poo-pooing annuities a little bit. You got to really look at all the situation. And you got to look at people and the mindset. And at best, there's some really great data out there. I'll give some references. We'll do this on the next podcast because I already feel like I'm going over time. Is that right now, kind of the recommended, they have something. They've ever talked about Monte Carlo simulation?
I don't believe so.
Well, essentially, they'll do 50,000 simulations of all these scenarios of saying, hey, if you got $1 million in retirement, how much can we withdraw to have to make sure that you outlive your money?
Mm, okay.
All right. And so kind of the consensus, it used to be 4% a higher interest environment. Now it's like, it's under 3%, like 2.86%.
Jeez.
So if you had a choice of $1 million, so you have the fancy guy at the trademark after his name, call you Tammy, and he's saying that, and you've got me calling you up saying, hey, why don't you look at as part of the puzzle,
right?
Not everything, but as a base, we take this million and at 65 is going to, again, don't focus on the 6%. This is an example, but what would make you feel more comfortable having a 80% chance of success, which is also another way, flip that around, 20% chance of failure,
right,
where you can pull out, let's just give it, say it's 3%. It's not that high now, but 3% of your million. What's 3% of a million that you could pull out?
Oh my God.
Pull out your calculator. I'm putting you on the spot. Also make sure you're listening.
As soon as you hear the groan, you know I'm listening. Okay, so 1 million, and you want to know what, 3%?
Yeah, you're allowed to withdraw 3% for the rest of your life.
Oh, shoot, I just did 10 million.
That's okay. Sure. Take off of zero.
I multiplied by points, 30,000?
Yeah, 30 grand.
So you got
30 grand. And so here's one option. You can pull out 30 grand for the rest of your life. Oh, by the way, you'll probably have, it's all tax deferred. You're going to have taxes on that. Oh, and by the way, depending upon that threshold, it's going to affect your Social Security and its taxation.
Right.
Or you have another option where you can, so that's, and you got a 20% chance of failure, or you have another option that's going to pay you $60,000 the rest of your life.
And
60% of it, you're not paying taxes on it.
I'll take door number B.
You like door number B? So do you feel that it's unfair that they're using actuarial science to create that number for you?
No, my goodness. That's what makes me feel more confident in it.
Yeah. And so it's like, so that kind of clickbait stuff, it fires me up a little bit, because there's so much knowledge, there's so much information out there on the internet, but holy cow, do you need, here's a plug for myself. Holy cow, do you need someone like me, Tammy, to make sure you're doing the right stuff, because there's also so much crap on the internet as well. It's just so dangerous.
Some of which is trademarked, apparently.
Well, no, he's not. I'm not saying that. I have a feeling.
I know. I did.
I have a feeling I would love to plug in what that guy knows on Wall Street. I am sure I would love to know. I'm sure the guy's a genius through and through. But the problem is like you go, and I'm so grateful for all the doctors you have, but quite often you go see a chiropractor and they think they're going to fix your back. How?
By cracking it?
When they go to... Yeah, by cracking it, right? And so, but then you go to a physical therapist, and how are they going to fix your back?
I've never been.
Oh, physical therapy. And then you go to a surgeon. How's he going to, or she going to fix your back?
Cut me up.
Through surgery. And so they're all brilliant in their field, but sometimes they get such tunnel vision. And I'm not, this isn't, don't miss the point. I'm not trying to offend anyone, but it's very easy to have that unnatural bias.
Sure.
And then not be aware of it. And so, and I'm sure this guy had the trademark on his name. I can't, he's got, I'm like, how come I feel like I'm going to be getting like all these cease and desist emails? But I just, it's just like, there's like, yeah, I'm sure this guy's brilliant what he does. But you have to understand, a lot of people are terrified what Wall Street might do. And I can't pretend I have a crystal ball. Now, I've been really impressed. So he said, hey, 10 out of 10 times, we've predicted the ups and downs. Okay, that's a really strong ratio.
Right.
But it wasn't. It's a 20% failure rate. And then when you look at these Monte Carlo simulations and all these asset money managers and financial planners, that they're saying they can give you an 80% probability of success and you can only pull 30 grand of a million?
No thanks.
For fear that you might outlive your money?
Yeah. That's like fool's gold.
How does that? That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, fool's gold. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not that's not so comforting.
No.
And so I'm glad you picked door number B. Now, so the thing is you combine these pieces, and I love how Wall Street and the insurance companies battle each other out, and you got these life insurance companies battling other life insurance, trying to show they're all the best thing. They're all good at what they do, in my opinion, in many ways. Now, I would say that, especially when it comes to whole life insurance and the annuities, they have an incredible track record, and it's all because of the brilliant insurance engineers.
Hmm.
It's really nice when you put math behind these things and you put probabilities. And so for me, I know if I'm getting into an investment, I like the idea of having a 99.9% success ratio.
Sure.
As opposed to, where if you're doing a directional trade, it could go up, it could go down, where you have a 50% chance of success.
And one is based on science and math, and the other one's based on guessing. I don't know.
I would say that. So the founder of Vanguard, John, I might pronounce his last name, John Bogle. And as, he created, he upset Wall Street, I think 20 years ago, creating the Vanguard fund. It was essentially the S&P 500 index. And so he based a lot of, data in his book on the fact that they ran all these simulations and you're hiring all these fancy money managers and investment advisors to guess in Wall Street. And the reality is they're all brilliant on both sides. And so it's kind of a zero sum game, and you're better at just doing a flip of a coin based upon data. Like, we haven't existed long enough for like 1800 years is not enough of a time frame to know if it's really brilliance or just pure luck between different mutual funds, et cetera. And so he makes a very compelling case, which I'm sure upset people.
Then you know what I'm remembering as we're talking about this is your website.
Okay. What about my website?
Where Joey the T-Rex is compared to the bull on Wall Street.
Oh, thank you. Yes, please check out my website.
Yeah,
Joey the
that.
T-Rex is he's putting his
stomping.
Foot, he's stomping on Wall Street. So they all have their places. And so anyone who tries to poo-poo whole life insurance, great, bring it on. And you look at it and you see the way I design it, I'll show you why it's so brilliant. And I just crave to help everyone out there. I just want to be the advisor for everyone that I was craving when I was 22. And so, and that piece with the annuity. So actuarial science, the insurance engineers have created something very, very special that shouldn't be discounted, in my opinion, by anyone. It might not be the perfect fit, depending upon certain situations, but don't discount it. Really understand it and understand the power behind it. And then you have the gambling side. Hey, I like Wall Street. Buy and hold, in my opinion, pretty scary as a retail investor. But it can be a nice part of your portfolio too. So do you have any other things to add or questions on that one?
I have a good analogy that just popped into my head. I've been trying to think of an analogy to this whole time, and it just popped into my head. And maybe because the summer has just finished and we've seen all those carnival rides. So to me, the difference between the Bankosaurus and Wall Street is the difference between a carnival ride that's been checked over by reliable people versus carnies.
So here's where I show I'm ignorant. I don't know what a carnival ride is or a carny is.
All right.
This
so
is
let's,
where I get to go from educating
like
and learning. So tell me, please.
So one of my favorite rides at the fairgrounds is those swings. So it goes around and around and around. The faster it goes, the higher up your swing goes. But sometimes when you look at the people that operate those rides, they're a little sketchy. Maybe they haven't taken a shower, brushed their teeth. I don't know, but they're just a little sketchy.
Or are paying attention to how they're running it?
Yeah. And so there have been actually some deaths on these things because...
I don't go on those rides.
Right. To me, that's Wall Street. Right? Like, people look at Bankosaurus life insurance, whole life insurance, and say that it's boring. But to me, that's crazy. It's boring like you can count on it not falling apart and throwing you out into the sky.
We're going to have to do a part two now, because now my brain just went
all right
on all these things I didn't discuss that I really need to highlight. It's going to be Bankosaurus number three, tied off the whole insurance engineers component.
Okay.
And I'll say it again, actuarial science, because I just want to say it 20 times on a podcast. but we're going to have to do part two, because what you just stated is really important. There's all these other things I have not addressed that, yeah, let's make the Bankosaurus even more exciting. It's
excellent.
So freaking cool once you get it. And a lot of people go, oh, I'm 62, I'm too old. Oh, I'm 65, I wish I knew this, or 70 or 75, I wish I knew this when I was 20 or 30. And I get it, because, you know, 8 years ago, I say, hey, I wish I knew this, you know, 8 years ago. But the reality is you're never too late to play. Well, you know, not live, you're too late. But very rarely does it not play. So people listening to this and go, oh my gosh, I'm 65. Why would I want to do whole life insurance? Doesn't make sense. Trust me, when you see numbers and you see design ideas, you see how it can be. Some people, it doesn't make sense at all. But other people, you'd be amazed at how unreal it can be.
Okay.
Even at 60s and 70s.
Cool.
Amazing. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
And so I'll talk. We'll just hit on a whole bunch of real fun things. I'm just going to do bullet points for our next podcast on just going back to Bankosaurus number. I have a feeling probably it comes up quite often on these podcasts. But there's things I know I haven't talked about that I really want to hit on.
Sweet.
If that sounds good to you.
Of course.
So what do you think of today? Two thumbs up?
Three.
Three. Good. Good.
All right. And I have to point out that I said that I was going to choose door number B.
Door number B?
Instead of letter. So whenever you were saying it back to me, I was busting up laughing because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm such a fool.
Oh, did I keep saying door number B too?
Only because I said
it
to you.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that shows how easily manipulated I am. Good job. Great.
Anytime. Woohoo. Yay me.
Hey, thank you. Well, I will, everyone, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. So insurance engineers, it can make things really powerful as part of your financial strategy. Actuarial science versus Wall Street, or as a component to add to Wall Street, or vice versa. So that was it. So if you guys want to learn more, go to my website, engineerfinance.com. Some people still love picking up the telephone number, and you will always get a human being answering. No call trees. Unless you call it a really weird hour. So 775-624-8839. Give us a call, and a receptionist or my assistant will set up a time that we can talk for a little bit. And, or just shoot. I think that was it. I plugged the website, gave my telephone number, I guess that's it. So if you guys love this podcast, please, would love a great rating and share it with other like-minded people that you'd like to help out that would get value out of this podcast. And then I'm going to let you do the sign-off, Tammy. Pretty please.
You just want to be a part of the growing Ken Green Engineer of Finance fan club is what you want to do.
I agree.
Right? Excellent. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others who would really rather not their financial vehicle be like those carnival rides that aren't checked over twice, three times, four times. Ken Green will definitely check over your financial vehicle and make sure that it's the most appropriate one for you.
Thank you, Tammy. I'll take 100% success over the might not make it through the ride. I agree.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, listeners. And till the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.